Good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
Left out a few announcements earlier. One is the visitor's card you should find in your pews. If you're a guest with us, it's all we're asking you is just to find some information about on you guys. We're glad you are with us this morning. If you're online and you're a guest, you can drop us a message there or message us via Facebook or send us an email just letting us know that you were with us this morning. We appreciate you guys as well. And the screen just went up. That's because we're doing something a little different. We don't have a PowerPoint, but we have a handout in the bulletin. So there's some notes there. There's some fill in the blanks. On the back side, there's a word search. So have fun, but pay attention. And it is great to be here with every one of you this morning. Glad to see your faces. I know it's a little rainy outside, and we're glad that you took this opportunity to be with us today. We will be in Mark 14, 53 through 65 as we continue our study in Mark together. If you want to make your way that direction, Mark 14, verse 53. I hope you guys have enjoyed this walk through this gospel as we're coming to the end. We're in the last day. We're on Friday. We're approaching Easter. We will actually cover the end of this book the week after Easter, and we'll be moving on from there. So, and we've been in this book for over a year now, so it's been a steady march through Mark, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Do we know this saying, do as I say, and not as I do? Saw some of you guys filling in the blanks there. Who says this? Your parents. It's the parents' mantra, right? Don't want to point this out, but it is the title of the message. This is a little hypocritical of us. Do as I say, not as I do. Eat your vegetables while we're sneaking the snacks after they go to bed. Screaming at people, it's not stopping at stop signs, knowing if they weren't there, you weren't going to stop at the stop sign. Phones, technology is a big thing today. Telling your kids to put away their phones, but you don't look up from your screen to tell them to do it. These kind of things. Do as I say, and not as I do. Today, Jesus will be on trial in our text, and the judges are hypocrites. He's called them hypocrites on almost every page. We've reached this time. He is before them. These religious leaders will stand guilty while charging Jesus with crimes he did not commit. We will see our own worlds and our own lives put on trial as well as we look at this text this morning in three parts. The Jewish leaders look for lies. Jesus tells the truth. And Jewish leaders flipped the truth. Mark 14, verse 53. Let's stand together as we read God's word. Mark 14, verse 53. And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together, and Peter had followed him a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands. Yet even about this their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his robes and said, what further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for again for this morning, this opportunity to gather as your church. Be with us now as we lean into your word and we try to apply it to our lives as we leave this place. Write our hearts and our minds for what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, I pray. All right, last week, we finally saw the words of Jesus come to pass. He was arrested and his disciples did flee. We noted that he had told them this many times and they always said it would never happen. And then it did. They ran from Jesus. We also noticed that we had all run from the Son of God. And even as believers, we still fall short. Jesus had to be arrested so he could head to the cross for every one of us, so our sins could be paid for and we could stop running. This week we turn from the arrest and to the Jewish trial. We call it a Jewish trial because Jesus is also tried by the Romans, and we will get to this one in a few weeks. Today we look at the Jewish trial and we will start with their strategy for this trial. Jewish leaders look for lies. Where are we now in our Gospels? Jesus has been taken to the religious leaders of Israel. We were in the garden and now we're in the religious courts. It is sometime early Friday morning and Jesus will be dead by sunset. We are also told here that Peter is following at a distance. John's gospel also tells us there was another disciple following as well, and it is likely John himself. We will talk about this next week, but for now know that although all fled the garden, Peter and John both are hanging out in the distance trying to see what is going on. What is going on? The religious elites are trying to make some charges stick to Jesus so they can ask the Romans for an execution. This is important to note that although the Jewish leaders are over the affairs of Israel, they are not in control. The Romans are. That's why Jesus will be sent from this place and to the Romans for judgment. Ultimately, Jesus is in control of this situation. We've seen it week after week. But we'll look at these two groups passing him around over the next couple of weeks. The Jewish leaders cannot pass him to the Romans, however, without a proper charge. So what are they to do? They make one up. Our text says they were all gathered and heard many testimonies, but they were all false and did not agree with one another. My text says whole council, but the word in Greek is Sanhedrin. We know this. This is their governing body for Jewish religious affairs. If they were all in attendance, we're looking at 71 or so people, plus those who followed them and work with them. So Jesus is not standing in front of a few religious scholars, but all of the religious elites available during this early morning hours in Jerusalem. All of them. It is curious that they are all present, but yet have to search for witnesses to prove wrongdoing. This is partly because their laws require it. Places like Deuteronomy 17:6 says on the claims of two or three witnesses, you can put someone to death. Good thing it's not like that today. But their law also states that you cannot bear false witness against one another. So they need a couple of witnesses to sentence Jesus to death, and they need them to agree. Disagreement means false testimony, and it means Jesus walks away free. This search for testimony is also partly due to the fact that none of them can hold a charge against him. They have nothing. They do not need witnesses if they are the witnesses themselves, but they have no charges. These religious leaders are gathered at a number that possibly reaches triple digits after all their followers and workers with them. And they have no proof of wrongdoing. The text says here They are listening to many witnesses in the hopes that a couple of them will line up. None of them do. They are looking for lies to convict Jesus. Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus, the source of all truth. This man will be convicted by lies. It could happen no other way. The man who led the perfect sinless life could only be tried with falsehoods. He came to pay the sins of others, and it is the sins of others that condemn him. Let's talk about us for a moment. Jesus knew he would be standing before these people even before time began, and he knew false charges would be his undoing. He had to be put to death so false charges could put him in the place to take the punishment for the just charges against every one of us. Jesus has told us many things in this book, and they have all come to pass, this being one of them. There's something else to know that is very important for all who believe. These false accusations will happen to you too. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, know it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples. He says they will come after you too. If you are mine, you will be hated just like me. Christianity in America has seen this happen in the world around us, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in other countries who are arrested for believing in Jesus. I'm telling you today that these words from Jesus were not just for his disciples, and they were not just for the brothers and sisters we have in other countries. These words are for you. America does not follow God. America is of the world. This is a reality, and you must see it. Don't believe something could happen here. Look at our pandemic. This past April, New York City was in bad shape. And a charity organization set up a hospital in Central Park to help out, as they do all the time, all around the world, to meet needs. However, New York citizens did not greet them with open arms and thank them for their help. Instead, they protested this field hospital during a pandemic because it was run by Christians. I would rather die than be helped by a Christian. This is what the world thinks of your faith. Publishers and stores right now are pulling books off of shelves that teach Christian values. You must realize that if you are following the Son, you have faith in Jesus Christ, and the world will come for you. Our government is already coming for you. They're doing it under the guise of your safety and protecting against misinformation. When they use that word, itself is misinformation. And they do it under the emblem of everyone being treated equal. But what it means is that truth statements by you are fine as long as they align with the world around you. They are coming for your freedoms, and they are coming for your Christianity. And Jesus warned us over and over again in this book that it would happen. Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus took up his cross for us, and he expects all who follow him to do the same. Now, this does not mean death by crucifixion. What it does mean is that everyone who claims Jesus and walks through life carrying their Christianity proud will have a cross to bear, will have a consequence for following the Son of God, will have sufferings, and will have persecutions because of their faith. Jesus says it will happen, so be prepared. What I am saying is that it is happening. It is happening, and Christians in America are about to be tested. When we are tested, will we be found as faithful followers or those who sink back and fall away? When your cross is handed to you, will you bear it or run away? This could be as big as arrested for believing the Bible. Or it could be various levels of lies and deceit, just like Jesus deals with here. Whatever the circumstances, you will have a decision to make. To stand with your church and your Savior, or to fall away. One other note. If you're not in this place and in this Word and surrounded by the people of God consistently, then it will be much easier for you to fall away. Much easier to not fight for your church if you are never here to begin with. The online option has been a valuable tool, but I do not want to be the preacher on your screen. I want to be the pastor in your life. Now, this pandemic blurred these lies some this past year. These lines have been blurred. But most of you know by now if you need to be home or if this virus is now just an excuse for you. COVID-19 is real, and it is dangerous. It's affected many people. But we've done well here as a church of being cautious and being safe, and the vaccine is available and the numbers are going down across our country. Maybe the question is, what other areas of your life are you avoiding due to this virus? Or is it just Sunday mornings that have you nervous? If it is just this hour of your week that you are avoiding, then maybe you have begun to fall away already. The point is that testing is coming, and we will have to stand together to pass the test. Next, we will see how Jesus handled the lies, handled the deceit. He handles lies with the truth. Jesus tells the truth. This panel of religious elites is marching in witness after witness to find testimony to convict Jesus of wrongdoing. And they have found none. No two people can give the same story. This makes the high priest turn to Jesus. Though they can use none of the testimonies they have heard, he still asks Jesus to respond to them. Do we get this? They essentially say, "We know all these things we have heard are false, but defend yourself anyway." Jesus is silent at first, and rightly so, but then the high priest comes to a specific question. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? What is the response of Jesus here? I am. We know this from last week. Only God is the great I am, and Jesus says it again here. But many do not think this is Jesus claiming to be God. We would all say I am, right? In some form or fashion. Well, he doesn't stop there. I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Now, this may seem obscure to us, though it shouldn't, since we've been talking about these kinds of statements for over a year in our gospel. But maybe you don't have clarity as to what Jesus just told these people. That's okay. Let's first remember who he is talking to. Every religious leader available in this area on this early Friday morning is in this place. These are the people who teach Scripture. These are the people who hand copy Scripture. These are the people who have Scripture memorized. This is who they are. So what did Jesus just say to them? Well, first is this Son of Man statement again. We remember this if we've seen it a few times in Mark. It comes from Daniel as he sees the Messiah to come looking like the Son of Man. Jesus has claimed this title for himself in our gospel over and over again. What about Psalm 110? Do you remember this? The Lord says to my Lord, set at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. If you remember, we looked at this text a few weeks ago. We said David was speaking of his two lords, the Lord God and the one who sits at his right hand. Do we remember this? We said this is who Jesus has claimed to be on this earth for his entire ministry. The Son of Man will be at the right hand of the Father, Luke 22:69. The Son of Man will take his place on the throne at the right hand of God after he endures the cross, yeah. Hebrews 12:2. This is what he just said to these men who have the Old Testament memorized. They know every word that Jesus just spoke. He says, I am the God the Son, and I do stand with my Father, and I will rule with him when this is over. Remember, Israel has been waiting for this moment their entire existence. These men standing before Jesus are the ones in charge and the ones who know what God's word says. But they cannot let this man before him be the one. He stands before them with nothing but truth on his lips, and they cannot stand to hear it. Why? Because he does not fit their ideas and their mold of who they think their Savior should be. And because they are not his. They are not his. They are not a part of the flock. They are not his sheep. Though they have ears, they cannot hear him. Though they have eyes, they cannot see him. They are not one of the sons. What should we take away from this? There will always be those around you trying to change this message in this book to fit them. They may even hold positions of influence. In our world, we see this every day, either in our lives or in the news. We're told our ways are old-fashioned and need to move with the culture. The problem is, Jesus himself just showed us that truth can never change. No matter how much these leaders wanted to change, it was not going to change. No matter how much we want this word to change, it will always be God's immovable, infallible, and unchangeable word. Who, me? I don't want God's word to change. This is something we must realize if we're going to reach others. We have to realize that every one of us has wanted the truth to shift at some point in our lives. We have. It was just that one night with that girlfriend or boyfriend. I know I drink all the time, but I have it handled. I know I'm lying to people in my life, but it is for their good. I know it is faith in Christ that saves, but my friend or family member is a good person. Maybe it's different for them. These are the things we wish we were not set in stone. These are the kinds of things that keep us up at night and cause us pain. And we must realize that we all have these things so that we can help others through their faith. You see, if we carry ourselves as sinless saints, then we dilute why Jesus had to come. We are all sinners, and believers are sinners saved. Faith in Jesus is the only difference. Jesus had to go to that cross so repentance could be had, so heart change and life change could be had. Now, this does not mean we never sin. All of us are sinners and are unworthy of the heaven we seek. Jesus was the only one worthy. What it means is that you have faith in Jesus and are repenting of your sins and not living in your sins, and you are helping others to do the same. These leaders were not helping others and were changing the truth to suit them. Are we doing the same? Make sure you stand on God's truth no matter what. Next, we will see that this means using the truth against Jesus. for these leaders. Jewish leaders flipped the truth. How did they flip the truth? Jesus said, I am the Messiah that you waited on. And I am the Lord that sits at the right hand of God. I am the Son of God. Did these leaders bow down before him? Of course not. What does our text say? What further witnesses do we need? What he said was blasphemy and deserves death. So they can send away all their false witnesses because Jesus was just a witness against himself. Blasphemy comes from the word that means evil speak. It is basically anything said or done against God. You notice here that the charge is blasphemy and the high priest tore his robes. This was to signify that some terrible deed has been committed. And actually the high priest is not allowed to do this. So it speaks to the severity of the accusation. For us, it actually speaks to their severity of their acting the part. They really had to sell this claim to get everyone on board. I want us to see two things here. The first is that blasphemy would have deserved death in this culture. So the penalty would have matched the crime. What's the problem here? If the penalty is just for the crime, what is the problem? The crime was not committed. God cannot blaspheme by calling himself God. The Son of God cannot blaspheme by saying he will be sitting with his Father, because that's where he's going. Everything he has done in his ministry to this point has pointed to him being God, to being the long-awaited Messiah. Not just one thing that happened in some far-off portion of this country, but everything. It is also good to note that many of these leaders that judge him on this morning were witnesses to his ministry, to his miracles. What's an example of this? Well, in Mark chapter 2, we looked at the healing of the paralytic together. We remember his friends tore off part of this roof of this house and lowered him down because they wanted to get him to Jesus. They get him to Jesus, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. It's not what this paralyzed man wanted to hear laying on this cot. But he says, your sins are forgiven. Guess who was close by and did not like this statement? The Pharisees. They think to themselves that this is blasphemous because only God can forgive sins. Remember what happens? Jesus hears their thoughts. And he says, I will heal this man so you know I do have the power to forgive sins. He hears their thoughts. Makes a paralyzed man walk so that these leaders would not see it as blasphemy. In Mark 3, he heals a man's right hand, or his hand, right in front of him to show that you can do good on the Sabbath. A hand withered and unusable, healed before their very eyes, and they leave that place with plans to destroy him. This goes on and on across our pages, and everyone who has faith can see these events for what they are. They are miracles performed by the Son of God. So blasphemy is the charge, but the crime was not committed. God cannot blaspheme himself. What's the next thing to see about this interaction? Blasphemy does actually occur. What do you mean, Pastor? You just said it didn't happen. Correct. I said Jesus did not blaspheme, but these leaders did. These elites are the kings of iron. They charged the Son of God with a crime. A blasphemy. And in doing so, they blasphemed God. They said, God has sinned. They said, God has spoke against himself. They said, God deserves death. Look at our last two verses today. They all condemned him. Some spat on him, struck him, ridiculed him. These were all sins against any human and against the Son of God. Blasphemy indeed. Do we see this? That the accusers themselves are committing the crimes they accuse. It's like children telling on someone else for their own wrongdoings. Maybe you hit your sibling and ran into the other room and said, I got hit. That's what's going on here. Don't do this. Don't be this hypocritical. Don't be the guy yelling at people to tell them not to yell. That's me at our house from 3 rooms away. Everyone stop yelling! Don't be the person slinging hate to combat hate.
Amen.
Don't be the person with road rage over the very same thing you did 2 stoplights earlier. The Bible's word for this is hypocrite. The Bible's word for this is liar. It's what these leaders are. It's what many people were that stood against Jesus. It's what many people in our lives are. At times, it is what many of us are. We can't be this and be the church we're called to be. We can't be this and live the gospel we are called to live. When the world looks at us, they must not see more world. They must see Jesus. Where are we hypocrites? Let's lean into God and to one another to correct this together. So the world can indeed see Jesus. What do we see today in our text as a whole? Simply put, Jesus was called a liar. Jesus then gives them the truth, and these Pharisees end up being the liar. The hypocrites. We said the world around you will persecute you for believing in this man, and it already is. We said the world around you will want to change the rules of the race to fit their lives. But we must always stand on God's truth. We also said we must avoid being a hypocrite. The world needs Jesus, and it needs to hear about him from you. When the world looks at you, they should see less of the same old world around them and more Jesus within you. I imagine some part of our look at our text today landed on your heart. Maybe it's that you need the courage to step out against persecution. Maybe it's that you need the courage to remain steadfast in the truth you know from this book as those around you try to change it. Maybe it's that you need the strength or wisdom to be less like the world and more like Jesus. Please use our final moments together to pray for any of these things. More importantly, maybe what is weighing on your heart is the salvation of someone else close to you. Or maybe the salvation weighing upon you is your own. Bring this to your Savior. Cry out to the Lord for his intervention. We cannot control all things, but we can come to the one who does. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This salvation means his spirit within you. And you no longer belong to the world. Is this you? Can you see and hear Jesus for who he is? Can you see him? Can the world see Jesus when they see you? Bring any means at all as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for gathering us in this place. We thank you that we are your people. We thank you that we do believe in Jesus. And now we ask for your help. Right the wrongs in our life. Help us to see where we are hypocritical. Help us to see where we fall short. Help us to lift one another up as we leave this place. To strengthen and encourage one another as we go out into this world. But Father, help us spread the gospel message. Father, we need this message. And the world around us needs this message. Use us. Let the world see Jesus when they see us walking. In Jesus' name, thank you.